Good evening and welcome to Inside SCOM here on TWR. Inside SCOM is a program presented by SCOM Ministry, and the program is there to give a snapshot of what happens in SCOM and the work that SCOM is doing in Malawi. Today you are with me, Michael Kaiton. Last week in the program, we focused on managing relationships and also heard a testimony from Danik Falinya. Today we hear a Bible study discussion on revival, which was facilitated by Mrs. Chimango Mlowoka at ASCO 2017. We also hear a testimony from Magluwe Ngajipanda and get updates on SCOM activities happening in December. So I urge you to stay tuned. We begin the program with the Bible study group presentations as facilitated by Mrs. Chimango Mlowoka at ASCO 2017. We read Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 1 to 4.
Okay. From group 1, I want to know how you answered the first part, revive our passion, O Lord. A and B, how is passion demonstrated in that portion of scripture, and where is this passion coming from?
Group 1, what we discuss about the passion. The first question, how is passion demonstrated in this portion of scripture? The passion is demonstrated in the way that Nehemiah wept, mourned for Jerusalem. He even fasted for them whenever he realized that the people from in Jerusalem sinned against God. And the second question, question B, the passion comes from the love, his love and his ownership. The moment he acknowledged the sin of the people from Jerusalem, he had love. He did not overreact or putting them aside. He said, with his love, he had to pray for them. That's why he wept. That's why he mourned for the Israelites. And even this, on the part of ownership, he took Israel as his, the Israelites or the people from Jerusalem as his own people. He did not want to despise them for what they did. He did not take himself to be infallible, that he cannot make a mistake. Because he realized that he's also a human being, he can make mistake. So that's why he took the Israelites as his own people, as his children, to pray for them, to mourn for them. All we discussed.
Okay, thank you. Group 2. If every associate had this passion, what would SCOM look like? Number C.
SCOM would look different because we wouldn't only have the passion, but would even go out and work what the Lord has commanded us, because we would be touched with the things that touches the heart of God. Like, for instance, Nehemiah, he was touched with the reports that came from his people, from his brother. When he heard the report, he was so touched and so moved. And that's what made him to weep and to pray for something to happen. Even us would even want to go out and minister to the students because of the things that are affecting them. Would want to go and counsel them, would want to go and minister to them because we know that what they are passing through actually touches God, and God wants us to do something as his children, as his ministers.
Okay, group 3, what would SCOM look like? Give us a picture of what SCOM would look like if we, Dr. Malua.
For group 2, we want to add what we discussed.
Okay.
That what would SCOM be if every associate had a passion? Every school could have been visited. Every project could have been completed. Now, we could not be talking about the SCOM Center, Planted House, all those could have been completed. Thank you, madam.
Thank you very much. Okay, group 3.
The ministry would have grew in numbers, number of associates. The impact would be evidence in institutions, reducing sins, breaking us, and behavior.
Thank you very much. Group 4, what should we do to regain or have this passion?
From our group, mostly we felt like a great sense of ownership also of the ministry, and a sense of belonging to be able to help us regain the passion. At the same time, getting the right reports, getting from Nehemiah. He got the right report from those that were from his own place, and that made him also rekindle the sense of belonging. So that in itself can help us also regain the passion.
Okay, group five can add to that. What should we do to regain or have this passion?
I think the deeper our responsibility would have been winning the lost souls, and even growth would be realized.
Even?
Growth, expansion.
Okay, that's group five, eh? Group six, can you answer D? What should we do to regain?
As associates, what we should do to regain this passion is like to be reading the Word of God, since the more you read the Word of God, the more you have deep understanding of how you should handle the students, and also you should be good at prioritizing the things which you consider most. As an associate, you should also remember that you do not only have work on your side, but you should also remember that you are doing a ministry as an associate of SCOM, and you are also leading a certain flock, which is the children of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we're looking at some of the areas that need to be ticking, and we identified one as passion. We are saying the ministry cannot tick if we do not have passion as associates. And from Nehemiah, we've rightly seen that the first thing Nehemiah did was to inquire. When Hanan came, he inquired about Jerusalem. He inquired about the exiles that had returned. He wanted to know what is the situation like. If we have lost passion, we don't care to find out what is happening in the schools. I mean, it's not our business because the passion is not there. So we will not want even to find out what is happening. But passion will drive us. Even if we are not there, we want to know what is happening in that school. What is happening maybe amongst associates. So we need to have that passion, and it will be shown through our interest in whatever is going on in the ministry. And then we also looked at the way he reacted. When he heard there was weeping, there was mourning, there was fasting, there was prayer, he was so moved by what had happened, and he sat before the Lord and had time to reflect on what had been said. What could I do? You know, and where did he get this passion from? It's, as we have rightly said, from the sense of belonging he had, that ownership that I belong to Israel, and the knowledge he had about what Israel was supposed to be. Nehemiah knew what Jerusalem was before the walls were broken down. It was a disgrace. It was shameful that the city was in that state. And that knowledge alone is what moved him to hear that things are devastated. He was moved because he knew what was supposed to be. In our introduction, we said we have a position. We know where God wants us to be, but we have moved from that position. And if we know what this position is supposed to be, we will desire to move back to where we're supposed to be as individuals, as a ministry. So that knowledge helps. Maybe sometimes we do not have passion because we don't know what the student ministry is supposed to look like. So whatever is happening there, we just think it's supposed to happen that way. But we know God has called us to this ministry, and we know what is supposed to be going on in the ministry. And we have said if every associate had that passion, there would be a lot of growth. We would see a lot of people come to the Lord, a lot of students respond, and a lot of students change in character. We'll have better schools. We'll have a better associate ministry. There'll be a lot of growth that will be seen. And what should we do to regain that? We know from different groups, maybe some of us realize we need to have a time of reflection. You know, in Revelation, Jesus is saying, remember the height from which you have fallen. You should take time to remember. So we need to have a time of reflection to assess, is this the position that I'm supposed to be in? Am I where God wanted me to be? Do I have to go back? Have I moved from my position? So a time of reflection is needed. If we really want this ministry to go on, we, each one of us as individuals, we need to sit down and reflect on what has been happening. Do we need to repent? We need to acknowledge if we have fallen. Let's acknowledge that, God, this is not what I'm supposed to be. I need to go back. We need to acknowledge that and make a decision. This is the way I want to go. May God help us to have our passion revived so that we are able to do the things that we did at faith.
Revive our passion, O Lord. I hope we are learning something. We'll come back to the Bible study later, but for now I invite Lola and Diego to give us a track, My Revival.
I will run and not grow weary. I will walk, I will not faint. I will soar on wings like eagles, find my rest in your everlasting name.
You are listening to Inside SCOM.
You are my revival, Jesus, on you I wait. Now lean on your promise, you will renew my strength. I will run and not grow weak. I will walk, I will not faint. I will soar on wings like eagles, find my rest in your everlasting name. You are my on you, I wait. Now lean on your promise, you will renew my strength.
Oh. You are listening to Inside SCOM.
Titled My Revival, done by Roland Dego. You're listening to Inside SCOM here on TWR, and today we are focusing on a Bible study discussion on revival as facilitated by Mrs. Chimango Mluwuka.
And the second part was on obedience. We read from Numbers 25, 1 to 9, and how is obedience demonstrated in this passage of scripture, group 7?
The people followed the instruction of God by killing the man and woman who disobeyed the Lord.
The people? Which people?
The Israelites.
The Israelites? Group 9?
It was Phinehas who killed the Israel man and the woman who entered in the tent. So he did not tolerate the sin to continue. So he killed Phinehas killed the Israelite man to stop the evil.
Mm-hmm. So can you also answer what would have happened if none of the leaders chose to obey the Lord? The next question, B.
The epidemic could have continued and the Lord would have killed all the people for disobedience.
If God examined SCOM of today, would he find any traces of disobedience and what could they be?
In our group, we said yes.
What could they be?
We could find those traces. And we said in SCOM of today, there are issues that are doing disobedience, like people are not committed to the visiting of schools.
Okay, just to add on my previous colleague, many students won't be saved as a result. Immorality will increase, as already said, and many students will miss salvation. Just to add on that.
That was 12. Group 13, what are some of the consequences for such disobedience?
Group 13, what we discussed on some of the traces of disobedience was like not feeding the flock. So the consequence for that would be that the ministry would eventually die. Because for the ministry of SCOM to be there, it means the students that are there in schools, they have been exposed to SCOM. It means an associate went there to tell them about this whole thing of SCOM and also them that have received Jesus. So if you're not going there, if you're not feeding this flock, eventually the ministry can die.
Thank you very much. So to conclude on revive our obedience, Lord, I think we are agreeing there's some disobedience in SCOMAF, and we know about it. In the time of Moses, when God saw that there was a disobedience, he commanded Moses to kill whoever was involved in this disobedience, and Phinehas is one person that stood up and said, I will obey. And he went and killed this man and woman, and when he did that, you know, the plague stopped. God was pleased that a man had risen up to obey his instruction to kill. And for Phinehas, you know, he was celebrated for the courage he had even to kill his own people. You know, because the Lord had said it, he was ready to kill his own. And God is calling for such type of disobedience amongst us. As we have said, the different cases that we have mentioned today in SCOMAF, there will be no feeding of the flock, you know, and because of that, the ministry will die, there will be more rebellion in schools, there will be more unruly societies raised up because SCOMAF has lived in disobedience. So God is calling us to become Phinehases, who will be able to rise up and without mercy destroy that which is killing the ministry. And that calls for courage. I think God is, you know, challenging us to be courageous, to be able to point at sin. Sometimes it's within our zone. We know these things are happening, but we are quiet about it. And these are people that we expect to have an impact in schools. But God is saying today, let's rise up with courage and deal with anything that is going to cause this ministry to die. And that's a commitment each one of us as associates should be making. And God wants us to revive our love for him. And if we look at all maybe the issues we've studied, we realize it was an individual. Phinehas, it was one man that stood up. He did not wait for a group. If we want to revive or to break forth in SCOMAF, it don't wait for your son. Don't wait for the whole ministry. It is you. God wants it to begin with me, to begin with you. If I'm broken, I start showing God that I'm broken and I want things to change. You will see how many people God is going to bring around you that you are going to impact because you are broken. So revival begins with me being broken in the presence of God, understanding that I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and God, I want to come back to you. So if God is to revive us again, what should you do as an associate? Be broken before the Lord. Revival starts in brokenness. It starts by asking in repentance and asking the Lord to forgive us and help us to start anew. And so it begins with an individual. So as we leave this conference, know that if we are saying revive us, oh Lord, it will not wait for everyone. It starts with me. Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Mlowoka, for the enlightenment. Really, revival should begin in me, in us, each and every one of us as an individual. Gone are the days of complaining, things not working. you are there to do something. You can download a copy of ASCO Bible Study Guide on the SCOM website, scommalawi.org/ASCO2017documents.
This is Justice Chifundo Kachale, and you're listening to Inside SCOM.
It's now time for a testimony, and today we hear from McLuhan Kachipanda.
My name is McLuhan Kachipanda. I work with JTI, and I'm married with my only wife, Finest. And then I also have got two kids, and that's Chikonde and Chimwemwe.
All right, Mr. Kachipanda, when did you become born again?
I got born again on the 24th September. That was in 1993. It's quite some time. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has been faithful since that time until now. Yes, we were at the church conference, and then someone preached some gospel, and that really touched my heart. I must say that I have been brought up in a Christian background, in a Christian family. My father is a reverend. But much as I was in that status, but still more, I did not have the assurance that when I die today, I'm going to heaven. Up until when I got this message, and then it really challenged me, and then I had to make a decision to follow Christ.
How did you encounter SCOM along the way?
I was a casual member of SCOM when I was in secondary school, and that was in around 1994-95 at Robert Blake Secondary School. I used to attend SCOM, but I was not a very committed member. But then when I went to the university, that's a polytechnic, that's when I became a very serious member of SCOM. And due to that, I have really been involved in so many SCOM activities, and SCOM has really changed my life since then.
All right, what do you remember most in your days as a student, being in SCOM? What do you cherish most of those moments?
Yeah, quite lots of times when I cherish SCOM contribution towards my life. I remember there was a time when I used to be the SCOM UCS treasurer, sometime back around 1996-97. And then there was a time when we were trying to organize these conferences, and there was a time when we could really have lots of pressures. And as a student, you could really see yourself failing. But by the grace of God, you could actually see God coming up on your rescue and help you. So I must say, as a SCOM member, I have really cherished lots of moments. And especially even when we used to go to the conferences, UCS conferences, we used to have quite powerful speakers, which were really changing our lives and moving us, transforming our lives. And I can tell you that that's what helped me to be part of SCOM for quite a long time. Up until now, I'm still part of SCOM.
Yeah, so you're still part of SCOM.
Yes.
What keeps you going? What's your main motivation?
The main motivation that I see in SCOM is the joy that I see when I see a young person, when I see a student, their life is being transformed through what I have contributed to their lives. There are quite lots of things that we do in SCOM, of which one of the major aspects that we do in SCOM is visiting students, and you challenge their lives. I can tell you that nowadays, students, there are so many things that will affect their lives, and very little moments that they would think about God. But when you take the gospel of Jesus Christ to students and you challenge their spiritual lives, and on top of that, you also help them even in their academic lives and even their physical lives, because there are times where also try to help even students in their material challenges. That really helps me. Such a student comes back to you and tell you that my life changed because of what you did. It's a joy to my life.
Okay. And then go back to your personal experience. How has school maybe helped you in your life personally now?
Quite lots of benefits that I've received from SCOM. Actually, to be where I am, I'm a leader at my church. And for me to be a leader at my church, the qualities of that leadership aspect that has been implanted in me, it's because of what I went through SCOM. SCOM sharpens you. SCOM teaches you to be the right person. Actually, if you look at the M number 4 of SCOM, which states that we have to be reliable leaders to our churches. That really has helped me quite a lot, because of the nature of the ministry. SCOM is where we meet a lot of people with different backgrounds, with different levels of faiths. There's a lot that you learn. You learn quite lots of issues, and that is what we use as a practice even when we go back to our churches. And even in my personal life, SCOM has really taught me to be someone who is very serious in terms of their life, as far as the Christian life is concerned. And as much as I can say, it's only looking at a Christian life, then it overflows even to my character. The character is built up through my encounter with SCOM. Mm-hmm. If people are seeing someone they can admire, if people are seeing someone they think can be their role model, basically it's because of the ministry of SCOM, which has really done a lot in my life.
All right. And then what would you advise a student that is still at secondary school, maybe is not yet a member of SCOM, or others that are SCOM members?
My advice to students is there's only one thing that can really shape up your life. If you live your life in Christ, if you put your life in Christ, you may be a SCOM member, you may not be a SCOM member, but if you put your life in Christ, all these other things are shaped up for your own good. There are quite lots of benefits that you get when you put your life in Christ. Christ changes the way you think. Christ changes the way you act. Christ changes your character. Your character is built up to be a good citizen. And I would like to encourage young people nowadays, much as I know there's so many things that are available to them, there are lots of complications in terms of the technology nowadays, but all those things are vanity. If you really stick to Christ, if you make sure your life is in Christ, many things, there'll be lots of positives that you benefit in being in Christ. I can tell you that I am a very good example. If you follow my example, you never remain the same, and you certainly have to be a citizen that even the country will have to rely on.
Wow, what a challenge. Follow his example and you never be the same. You never regret. What's the example? Working with Christ, working with God. Yes, this has been tested and it works. Zinazi zamasuano zirimango na mizana. Thanks, McLuhan, for that inspiration.
Hi, I'm Martha Konje, and you are listening to Inside SCOM.
We now go to what's happening in SCOM. SCOM University and Colleges section has organized the National Leadership Conference on 15th to 17th December 2017 in Lilongwe. The theme is Raising Holistically Transformed Leaders, and speakers include Dr. Felix Lombe, Patrick Awuzu, Erin Napala, and Angela Luanda. Registration fee is 4,500 kwacha for students based in Central Region and 3,000 kwacha for those coming from Northern, Eastern, as well as Southern regions. Lastly, ASCO North is scheduled from 22nd to 24th December 2017 at Kande Scripture Union Camp in Karabi. Registration fees is 5,000 kwacha for singles based in Zuzu and 3,000 kwacha for singles from other districts. While for couples, it's 7,500 kwacha for those based in Zuzu and 5,500 kwacha for those based in other districts. Well, on that note, I've come to the end of this week's edition of Inside SCOM here on TWR. Send us your feedback on 0881-775-483. You can download these episodes of Inside SCOM on scommalawi.org. Today you are with me, Michael Kaiton. Until next week, keep on listening to TWR. SCOM!